Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Greaves Cotton Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Nagesh Baswanali, Vice Chairman, Mr. Dalpat Jain, CFO, Dr. Arup Basu, Managing Director, Greaves Cotton, Mr. Sanjay Bahl, CEO and Executive Director, GEMPL, Mr. Narasimha Jayakumar, CEO, Retail, and Ms. Akila Balchandar, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Baswanali. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Greetings and a warm welcome to the quarter four and the full year FY23 earnings call for Greaves Cotton Limited. I trust everybody is doing well and in good health. My gratitude for all of you to be present on this call today. FY23 has been a good year for the company, both in terms of operational and financial performance. Greaves Cotton has experienced success and growth throughout the year, marked by significant milestones, strategic collaborations, and our bench strength significantly increased by adding significant talent over the year. During the quarter, Greaves Cotton has recorded a stellar performance with the highest quarterly earning revenue, reflecting our commitment for sustainable growth. The consistent improvement in profitability across our core business units, be it the components of the engines division or the electric mobility or retail, is also evident as part of our strategic vision and dedication to innovation. Very quick highlight, Greaves Cotton got into a definitive agreement in the last quarter for the multi-tranche acquisition of XL Control Linkage Private Limited. In the first tranche, Greaves Cotton has acquired a 60% stake in the company. This acquisition strengthens Greaves Cotton's position in the industry, and the portfolio of offerings were all shared in the pre-deck reading material that was sent out. We are happy to take any questions on that at a later point. Our transformation, that journey that started several years ago, in terms of moving from a B2B to a B2B plus B2C and getting closer to the consumer, has been driven primarily due to the strength of our main verticals, i.e. Greaves Engineering, Greaves Retail, and Electric Mobility. Now the B2C businesses contribute to almost 66% of the revenue. Coming to Electric Mobility, Ampere two-wheeler registered over 1 lakh retail sales in 23. It partnered up with Royal Challengers Bangalore as their official EV partner for the ongoing IPL T20 season. We also unveiled 6 new two-wheeler and three-wheeler products at the Auto Expo in New Delhi in January. This caters to the diverse consumer segments and the different price points of the ever-growing two-wheeler, three-wheeler needs, which forms more than 80% of the Indian population of vehicles in the last mile segment. Greaves Retail is a leading distribution and a retail business in India. It specializes in last mile transportation and the life cycle spanning over two-wheeler, three-wheeler, electric and conventional vehicles, as well as low-end commercial vehicles. And this is into multi-brand spares, multi-brand service, and multi-brand sales. Now, from an overall perspective, when you take a step back, we do thank our talented team, which has been strengthened significantly over the last 18 months. the consistent improvement in profitability across the various divisions is also a reflection of that. We remain steadfast in our mission to build new competencies in this era of disruption and accelerate our movement in terms of being a full stack mobility and a sustainable last mile transportation solutions provider. With that overview, let me hand it over to Mr. Dalpat Jay. Dalpat.
Thank you, Nagesh. Good morning, everyone. To add to what Nagesh mentioned and put it in terms of numbers, during the quarter four, company had highest consolidated revenue of 827 crores, which was 33% higher than the same quarter of previous year. It had profit before tax of 56 crores. The good part is company's financial ratios are strong, or I would say the business ROCE is at the highest level. We had standalone ROCE of 35% and consolidated ROCE of 18% for the full financial year FY23. If we look at only quarter four, consolidated ROCE was more than 30%. Cash conversion ratio of the company was more than 90%, and that augurs very well in terms of working capital management, in terms of the balance sheet strength. Company had consolidated net cash of 1,142 crores, which can be used for the further expansion as we go forward. If I add Excel's revenue of quarter four and see on a pro forma basis, the company's consolidated revenue for quarter four would have been close to 880 crores, which is an annual run rate of close to 3,500 crores. So overall, a good profitable quarter. Standalone margins have come back to double digit, and we expect as we go forward, the industry continues to remain in strong position, and the diversification that group has undertaken will help us in having a consolidated revenues at a stronger position. With that, Nirav, we can open up the floor for question answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ashwin from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my questions are on the e-mobility side of business. So we reported a highest ever volumes during the quarter. Despite that, the margins continue to remain subdued because of lower gross margin and higher employee cost. So could you please reflect on that?
Yeah, so you are rightly observed. If you look at our overall volumes have been highest ever, the revenues are at 383 crores of a quarterly run rate. But at the same time, company has been set up for a far higher revenues and the volumes as we go, because the industry is going to see huge penetration in favor of electric. And that's where the management team has further been strengthened. We have filled in key positions at the senior level, plus overall headcount has reached more than 500. So that's what has led to the employee cost being higher. In terms of the gross margin, some of the changes which have been done to bring in AIS 156 related compliances, that price has not been fully passed on to the consumer, and that impacted margin, gross margins marginally. But mainly it's the fixed overheads which have been built for a much higher scale as we go in future.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir. So my next question is on the subsidy front. Where are we on, as on March 23, where is the, how much subsidy is left? And now there is news that few players are in the final stages of approval. So where are we on that?
Sanjay?
Yeah. As you're aware, the Ministry of Heavy Industries is conducting a review of the FAME II compliance, and for most of the EV players, including the electric mobility, Now, we understand, and I think you also picked that string up, we understand that review is still ongoing, and partly it's completed, but it's still ongoing, and we are currently fully cooperating with NHAI, and all the authorized agencies appointed by them, and we are awaiting any further communication from that. I just want you to note that we are, while this is ongoing inquiry, we are one of the first few ED players to receive the CNDR and NARAI certification, even for the AIS phase 2, which started on 1st of April, compliant for all the top vehicle models. Every single model has been cleared for AIS phase 2. So my investigation we wait for communication, I think we will most of these.
And sir, any word on the remaining subsidy which is there? The subsidy amount which is in receivable for us.
So net receivable in the consolidated financials is 350, close to 350 crores as of 31st March.
Thank you. Ashwin, I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on the good set of number. And sir, my question is on the e-mobility side. As you know, in this quarter, we performed very well. So what are expectation going forward? And if you can comment on the margin front and also on the top line front, what we are expecting going forward.
Sanjay.
Yeah, so I think thank you very much for commending the results we've had in quarter four. And I think while the forward-looking statements we will not make because they are still speculative in nature, but overall, just to reflect on the last 12 months, the industry has close to tripled in size, as you know, which is, I'm talking about electric two-wheelers, which went from about 253,000 to about 727,000 now. If this rate of growth continues, Ampere is the third largest, selling electric vehicle in the country today. And in fact, April it inched up to number two. So there is every reason to believe that we will be a significant leading position in this fast-growing market. And that's what would be at best I can say. Electric three-wheelers also we've seen, both in e-riksha as well as in the L5 segment, the contribution of electric vehicles in the overall pie is continuing to grow very rapidly. Last year, if you see, again, more than 500,000 electric vehicles, almost 700,000 electric three-wheelers got sold. And if this, again, growth gradient continues, with our addressability in both segments, L3 and L5, we can see now big growth coming forward. So that's the favorability. There's some echo coming, so it can mute the phone number.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Amin Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is just a clarification. If I look at your financial snapshot, then there is still a small negative gap between standalone and consolidated EBITDA and PBT. But when I look at your business division-wise disclosures, all of them seem to be, you know, in the green, including e-mobility, which has a small PBT profit. So just some clarification as to why is consol still lower than standalone?
Yeah, so I mean, good question. Two companies, Greaves Finance and Greaves Technology, these are our new businesses, and the difference is basically the margin revenue and the PBT of those two entities.
Okay, thank you. On the e-mobility side, you know, it's quite commendable that you're already back to, after having a difficult Q3, Q4, you're already back to PBT, which is already positive. But when I look at your launches, so when we look at your upcoming e-two-wheelers as well as the e-three-wheelers, I'm guessing that obviously the realizations for these will be higher because they have more features and they are new vehicles. But how should we think of gross margins? So compared to how it has been for you, say, in the last one or two quarters, as these volumes go up, realization could go up, but would it be positive from the start for margins, or could there be a period where margins could be negative on these new products and then they start to improve?
Sanjay, let me start. Sanjay, I'll start and then maybe you can add. Good question, and I'm glad you mentioned that. If you look at the Greaves Cotton philosophy and how we have done business, right, in terms of frugal approach over the last couple of years, and looking at the contribution margin, looking at how we run a business, how we introduce products, how we have brought in the plants, and at what level we have automated or capitalized the products, meaning we spend the capex where it's needed in terms of both the design and the process areas. Some of you have visited our plants. So I think that tells you a little bit of story of how Greaves Electric Mobility and Greaves Cotton in general runs its business. So I will leave you with that overarching stuff. So whatever we do, we'll look at overall and roadmap to profitability, overarching view. With that, Sanjay, you want to add something specific?
No, in fact, I got dropped for 2 minutes. But I think just to say that Ampere has traditionally been operating in a competitive market, but always has had cost leadership as one of the very strong philosophies which drives our products there. Now, while the point about the two new products will increase the realization is right, it also needs to be understood that both these products are 100% designed in-house, engineered in-house, manufactured in-house, and with the scale efficiencies now building in terms of sourcing, localization, and co-location of some suppliers, I have every reason to believe that margins are only going to be accretive in the overall portfolio as we go forward. So I will just stop there.
Okay.
Hello.
That's helpful. Yeah. That's helpful. If I can just add some, because as we move into these categories, now these categories are areas where there are some other companies which are already operating and selling decent volumes as well, and they seem to still struggle with hitting even EBITDA profitability. Now obviously you mentioned the things that you mentioned about cost leadership as well as efficiency and in-house design. What I was trying to get at is this segment inherently high on cost because the BOM cost can be high because the kind of features that you have to put in are high? Or is it just a temporary thing and, gross margins on this category eventually should be better than your existing category, if you can give some understanding on that?
But traditionally, you're right. In a stable, matured, reasonably penetrated market, the high-end products with more features typically end up getting higher gross margins. So that's the logical kind of continuum that you will see as the market matures going forward. Now, initially, there could be multiple reasons why, the margins can get challenged a little bit in terms of trying to pass on incentive to get higher adoption rate for electric vehicles. There could be some higher level of cash burn overall in the industry and all that stuff. So, but those are very temporary phenomena. But I think inherently, if you see the gross margin profile, I think is going to be as good, if not better, than the belly of the market as we move up the value ladder, because customer is ready to pay more premium. So I would not go with immediate what's happening in the competitive context, but I would look at a 12 to 24 month horizon on this one, and I feel confident that there could be reasonably strong double digit gross margins coming in these products.
Thank you. Thanks for the color. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunjan from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of clarifications. I mean, you usually used to give this EBITDA margin on e-mobility, which you seem to have disclosed on PBT level this time. I'm just trying to understand, is there some treasury income because we raised funds there? And if you could just give us operating EBITDA, I mean, EBITDA margin this quarter, which was, if I remember, Q2 was around 2-3% levels, Q3 was loss-making. So where are we now?
Yeah. So Gunjan, at EBITDA level, we are breaking even. So we are at the marginal profit, I would say 1% kind of margin in e-mobility. And because those numbers are available as a console minus standalone, we disclose at the PBT level. And PBT, while it has a bit of treasury income, it's mainly the operating PBT that we have disclosed.
Okay. Okay, got it. And Dalpit, do you mind sharing what is the contribution margin of the business right now in the e-mobility?
Same, close to around 20 to 22%.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, and the second question I had was on the AIS phase 2. If you could just share what was the, AIS phase 1, I remember, you know, which was done at some 3,000-4,000 cost. What is the incremental cost we've had to incur on the AIS phase 2? Has that been, taken through price hikes, absorbed through price hikes? And maybe then I'll take on the extension of this question later.
So, I'll come in that, Sanjay Dahlia. Look, on AIS phase 2, the cost increment is almost in the same ballpark of AIS phase 1, because there is some amount of, additional layering you need to do in terms of thermal coating, you need to do IP67 ingress. So, it's almost in the same ballpark. Now, what we at Greaves have done is we've taken a price increase on 1st of April in our flagship product, Magnus, and that takes care of most of the, increases being passed on to the hopefully to the customer, and it's met up with good response. In fact, we continue to do very good secondaries after the price increase, even in month of April and even continuing in May. So that has been taken, which is into the products already. Most of it has got covered there.
Okay, so since December, we would have taken almost 7,000 to 8,000 sort of price increases on the key models, right?
We've taken 4,000 rupees that time. Yes.
Thank you, Gunjan. Sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, two questions. If you can give us some sense of, secondary versus primary sales trend in Q4 and, say, first couple of months of this quarter. And, if you can give us some sense of, our pricing strategy. You did say, we had taken some price hike. But market share versus pricing strategy, how are we, looking at that? And, how is the competitive intensity of the industry in that context?
Sanjay?
Yeah. So overall, if you see in the quarter, we did about close to 14,000 ampere, and if I take only two-wheelers there, we did that level of numbers in terms of our primary. But the secondary was actually very good. 13,300 was the total secondary number. So almost the entire thing we put in primary, actually. I'm talking about March month. Yeah, and if you take the overall quarter, that was close to about 36,000 primary and about 33,000 to 34,000 secondary. So some part went into channel because when we opened the quarter, the channel was a little low in terms of stock, given AIS phase one switchover. So, but 90% of what primary we did went into secondary. And even the registrations, as you know, continued to grow up from about 4,500 in January. We almost touched 10,000 registrations, 100 registrations in the quarter in exit month of March. Yeah. In April, in fact, we have improved it further, and we have crossed 13% market share. We are number two electric scooter in registrations in the month of April. So that's the first part in terms of primary-secondary correlation. Now, go ahead to the next part of your question, please.
And so the question is, how are we looking at, our pricing strategy, market share, and how is the competitive intensity? How is the, I don't want to name, but tier one players who have their own offerings and also the new players who are, very aggressive in the marketplace. How are you looking at our pricing strategy and our market share versus theirs? How would we typically, I don't want you to, of course, give me the marketing strategy in a sense, but what will we prioritize? Market share versus, pricing versus market, our margins?
We're going to prioritize profitable growth, and whatever trade-off we have to make, we will have to really keep that as the right pivot there. But coming specifically to pricing strategy, look, we, unlike a lot of competitors you talked about, whichever tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, we actually have a very clearly spelled out strategy to democratize electric mobility in the country on the back of 2- and 3-wheelers. Now, why I'm taking you back to this is that we will have products in each of the customer segment and not a few price point segments that you operate in. Yeah? So we will have a mass marketplace. We will operate in value segments. We will operate in the mass segment. We will operate in the premium segment, in the price ladder, and we'll operate in every use case segment there. Currently, if you see, we have four products, and this will clarify the pricing strategy to you. Our entry product is ZLEX, which talks to an individual millennial kind of customer who has a typical use case of about 70 to 80 kilometers kind of a run over 2 or 3 days, and at about a 40 to 50 kilometer kind of a speed. Then there is Magnus CX, which is the flagship, which is a different price point completely. Then there is Zeal CA, which caters to the fleet mobility, where it's a very different kind of an offering in terms of price bundles that we make, along with service to some of the fleet mobility price. And then there is Primus, which is priced at 1,10,000. So our range really starts from 70 and goes up to 1,10,000 with about 10,000 gap at every price point. So our market share really is going to be share of the segment, and that totals up to the total market share of the company, rather than trying to compete on price with one or the other player in the market. That's going to be our strategy.
And if I can just add, Sanjay, this is a good question. We've always believed in our strategy of playing in the belly of the market. We started with where the price-volume relationship, that was the 80,000 to 1 lakh. Now, to Sanjay's point, we are moving more towards the left. We're also moving towards the right. And with products like the Primus, which was launched, and the product like NX, the next generation that was introduced in the Auto Expo, which is yet to be launched, you will see our expansion both to the left, but specifically going after different customer and different market segmentations, looking at what those customer needs are, what those unmet needs are, and how can we satisfy. So I think it's a much more broad-based strategy than just a pricing or a one-off strategy. And that's where I want everybody to keep that in mind. Yeah.
Thank you. Amish, I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Saurabh from Sunidhi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. I just needed a number, volume number for non-auto products, which include genset and light equipment for the quarter. This time
no,
this
sorry
is missing.
To interrupt you. Your voice is coming muffled. May I request you to speak through the handset?
Yeah,
sir. Hello. Am I audible now?
Yes, yes, much clearer.
Thank yeah. You. So I just need this volume number for non-auto products, which include genset and light equipment for the quarter. This is missing in this quarter's presentation.
Yeah. So basically, the engines number that we have over there, that gives the total engines, both for the non-auto small engines and industrial parts. Farm equipment is something which we have not included, considering the overall pivot at the total non-auto level. Farm equipment would be a similar number that we had in the same quarter of last year.
That was 12,002, right?
Yeah, so it will be close to around that between farm equipment and the power gen set. So that's a similar number that we have had.
Okay, so now onwards, this won't be, given to separately,
yeah,
right?
Total idea is that now, if in fact Nagesh would also like to add, broadly we have three businesses: engineering, retail, and electric. And then there are two new businesses which are to create the and empower the overall mobility segment. Within engineering, we are going to have auto and non-auto as the two disclosures for auto purpose, not industrial purpose. That's how things are going to be as we go forward.
Okay.
Yeah, Dalpat, if I can just add, I think with our evolution of the company, right, Greaves Engineering now has engines. They also have other end equipment, which is, to your point, the gensets or some of the other application engineered end products. More importantly, with the Excel acquisition, they have all the other areas like levers, push-pull cables, sensors, etc., etc. And more importantly, so this is, if I can look at it, is the component part of the business. And this component part of the business, and we included some of the exact components in the presentation. It caters to some of the small and light commercial vehicles. It also goes after the heavy truck and the bus industry. So when you look at the play has expanded. So now, hence, from a bigger picture, you're going to start seeing us speak about the Greaves Engineering, which is more component-based, and which is more in these several areas, and they are primarily between auto and non-auto. And then, of course, the other two verticals are basically electric mobility, which is a two-wheeler, three-wheeler and vehicle player, and retail, which is also, we have separated it out to bring in more clarity, is post-purchase solution, where we sell multi-brand spares, multi-brand service, and multi-brand sales of several different electric vehicles. So when you look at it, from a value chain extraction, you have the company in the component space, you have the company in vehicle space, you have the company in post-purchase solutions. So from an end-to-end life cycle management, right? That's the big picture.
Okay, so what would be the capacity utilization in this quarter for engines division roughly, and how is the trend looking for next two, three years?
Yeah, if you can see, the engine volumes have gone up. Arup, you want to give the capacity number?
So our capacity utilization is hovering around the 60-odd% range. And we've done about 180,000 plus engines. And with our portfolio, using our manufacturing facilities around both engines and motors, etc., we see a healthy line going forward. Thanks.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from MK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Yes, but your voice is coming a little more.
Can I audible now?
Yes, go ahead.
So my question is regarding the acquisition of Excel. There are not many companies which make an EBITDA margin of 20% to 28% in the cable business. So what different does this company do, and how you are interested in this kind of business, and what helps the Excel business in our company?
Sorry, the question was not clear. Can somebody repeat the question?
So my question was with regarding to the acquisition of Excel. Not many companies make an EBITDA margin of 25% to 28% in a cable business. So what does this company do that bit different that makes such a great margin, and how does this company can help in Greece Cotton?
Okay, I'll take that question. And then, one of the reasons we acquired Excel was exactly what you just mentioned. It's got a very high profitable business. And in fact, as the CFO has mentioned in the past, this should be margin accretive going forward, right? So you will clearly see that add to the Greaves Cotton portfolio also. Point number one. Point number two, they are a very cost-focused, profit-focused company, and they operate, 40% of their business comes from international markets. They are both in the OE business and in the aftermarket business. And they are, like I said, pretty much suppliers to all the heavy truck manufacturers, the bus manufacturers in India, and also globally to certain manufacturers. They pick and choose their orders. They work very closely upfront with the OEs. So hence, strong engineering, supply chain, cost control. And they also, quote-unquote, find areas where the profitability is high and where they want to participate. They have a very strong order book, and Dr. Basu and his team in the Greaves Engineering Division will continue to work with them with the same philosophy of profitable growth going forward.
Thank you, Rishabh. The next question is from the line of Samrat Jadhav from Prosperity Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So my major questions have been asked. The one only thing was about this 9,000 retail network which we have. So do we have any kind of division, like how much are for EV specific, and what is the expansion plan there?
So at a high level, the dealerships are across various units, both and electric mobility is the area that's growing. Let me bring in Sanjay, and then maybe Narsimha can comment on the network. Yeah, Sanjay, first.
Yeah. Okay. So, in terms of the dealer network for Ampere, we have more than doubled our network, and it's pan-India across all tier towns over the last 1 year. And I think this growth will continue at this pace as the industry continues to grow in penetration, more people adopting for electric vehicle as their preferred two-wheeler. The similar kind of a growth is evident even in the electric three-wheeler space now, with exclusive and multi-brand three-wheeler. Both kind of channels seem to be maturing now in the market. And in fact, Greece Retail, which is our own in-house channel, and Auto V-Mart, which Nasima can add after me, I think are becoming the prime platforms for both electric two-wheeler and three-wheeler industry kind of options that are there for the customer. So, yes, you're right in picking up that 8 to 10,000 kind of point of sale already of electric there, and these are only vehicle points of sale. If you add to that the service, spares, and accessories, this number is going to multiply very, very rapidly, is our view. Narsimha, you want to add?
Yeah, good morning. So on the Greece retail side, we have as of now, as of April 30th, 150 stores for Auto AV Mart, which is our multi-brand retailing dealerships for covering three-wheelers, electric three-wheelers, and two-wheelers. On the Greece Care, which is our multi-brand servicing network, we have a pan-India network of about 170 care centers where we service multi-brand electric vehicles and also traditional fuel vehicles. And we have about 8,000 plus retailing network which distribute our multi-brand spares. So overall, you know, that's how we, you know, we come up with this 9,000 plus number. It's actually more closer to 10,000 as of now. So that's the scope. And another important, of course, distribution is also our, you know, the mechanics that we have all over India as well. We engage with over 20,000 mechanics, which basically use our spares to service multi-brand three-wheelers and two-wheelers. Increasingly, the focus is getting to electric. Thank you.
Thank you. We move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Pankaj from Affluent Assets. Please go ahead. Pankaj, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go with the question, please?
Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I have compared this year's results with pre-COVID levels. So we have beaten the top line by a very good margin, but we are not at par with even, not even in vicinity to the EBITDA margins we have touched pre-COVID levels. So my first question would be, what is the internal roadmap, if you could share, for us to reach the EBITDA margins to of the pre-COVID level? Second thing, second question, we have a partner with us in e-mobility who has global presence. So in our earlier interaction, you had mentioned that they would be helping us explore the export market. So just wanted to understand what is the plan for that. And third question, if I may, Chris, we have a CNG-based engine. And as I understand, the CV makers are launching the CNG-based vehicles in India. Do we have any plans on that line? Thank you, sir.
Now, Delphar, first question, Sanjay, second.
Yeah, thanks, Nagesh. So, Pankaj, if you look at the margins, and now let me talk about the Greece standalone, where you alluded to the pre-COVID margins, which were, you rightly identified, were in the close to 13-14% kind of a range. If you look at our quarter four standalone results, EBITDA margins have already reached near 12%. And if you take Excel and do a pro forma, then the margins will be upwards of 13%. Having said that, one thing which fundamentally has changed from pre-COVID period to now is the overall auto volumes, because the fossil fuel, particularly diesel, had its own disruption in the COVID period. And then now post-COVID, things are recovering, volumes are coming back. But there is going to be some shift in the industry towards electric and others. Having said that, as a company, we are now going closer to the pre-COVID with a new mix of the businesses at the standalone level. And with the addition of the components, motion sensors through Excel, maybe standalone margins will even improve beyond what it used to be in the pre-COVID period. So that's the direction that you can see basis the quarter fourth result without giving any forward guidance from our side. Now, from electric mobility point of view, Sanjay, I would request you to add in terms of the direction that we are looking at.
Yeah. So I got the third part of the question. Second, some partner name you said you can tell me later.
Sanjay, his question was with ALJ. Does it give us added advantage in terms of our global expansion?
Okay. Yeah. So I think coming to the investor you spoke about, which is ALJ, and what is the added advantage? We have actually mentioned in earlier investor calls, but let me repeat this. ALJ is a strong investor with a long-term view on clean energy in the world. So, India, this is the...
Sorry to interrupt you. We are losing your audio.
Hello. Can you hear me better now? Hello.
No, sir. It's
Hello.
The same.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, this is better, sir.
Yeah, okay. So, I was saying ALJ is a long-term investor invested in clean energy on the planet. And India, this is the first investment they made with Greece, but they do have similar investments across the world, including Rivian, which is one of the top electric companies in U.S. So that gives a huge advantage to us in terms of understanding the already penetrated capability they have in not just electric mobility OEM space, but the entire ecosystem. So we get a lot of know-how in terms of technical, engineering, R&D, networking across the globe. So that's the first advantage we get, capability, know-how, and the maturity of the industry in different parts of the world. I think the learning curve gets better for Greece. The second is market linkage. ALJ is also one of the top distributors for Toyota across the world, and they have similar partnerships both in many regions across the world. So Greece will get benefited as we go forward and into international forays on both our two-wheelers and three-wheelers. They will get an advantage of market linkages with ALJ as an investor. So these are the two that I'm specifically spelling out. If you have something else in the mind, you can ask. The third point was on CNG 400, or CNG specifically as a growing kind of a component on in the overall scheme of things. CNG has been a dominant protocol, and we do have our play through MLR Auto, space, where we have a CNG 400 engine actually doing extremely well in the market and actually growing quarter after quarter. So we will continue to have this play as the protocol will, and we have already spelled out our strategy to be fuel agnostic and to be the fuel of choice of the customer as we go forward. And CNG being a much more cleaner protocol than the earlier fossil fuel, we are continuing to stay invested, and we will see as to how the protocol really grows. But we do have a product to solve that part of the market. Over to you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is basically on when are we expecting the new launches, the NXG and the NXU, and the Aerovision. And also, second is, can you throw some color on what is happening at Excel and ELE? How was the Q4 for these companies? All these subsidiaries rather.
Okay, so I'll start. So I think in terms of the launches, as we had announced in Auto Expo and the previous analyst calls, we had said the first launch will be, we had announced three on the two-wheeler, three products on the three-wheeler, right? We had said the Zeo and the Primus would be launched, which we did to schedule. So the Sanjay Bayal talked about both the Zeal product, which is a sub 70,000 rupees product. Then he touched upon the Primus, which is the greater than 1 lakh product. Right. So two done. The last product on the two-wheeler, which was the next generation NX, we had said in Auto Expo that it would be sometime this fiscal year, and it's still on track for that. And as we get closer, we'll discuss more about it. Regarding the question on the new company Excel that was acquired, they had a relatively good, actually a very good order book, and they had a good Q4, and that's why the CFO did mention on a pro forma basis how that would be accretive going forward and how that would happen. I mean, that was already discussed before. Happy to kind of give the details at a later stage. I think those were the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital Inn. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, what kind of growth are we looking at e-mobility business in next 2 to 3 years?
So I think we should be growing in line with the market. Now, there are varying market estimates that are there. Current market penetration in two-wheelers is about a little under 5%, and there are, if you take different estimates from Bain to McKinsey to any other industry, they're talking about more than doubling of the market over the next 2 years. So you can expect Greaves to sustain to improve its market share in this market, growing market. So you can calculate the basis of that. That's how it is going to be. The other segment, three-wheelers, is going to be a little more aggressive because we have a starting position which is just getting formed up now, and I think you will see us growing even more faster in that segment over the next 12 to 24 months.
Okay. And my second question is, in recent call, company aimed for early teen EBITDA margins in medium term. So, like, how are we going to achieve this, and can we see a year-on-year improvement from FY24 onwards?
Dalpat, you want to touch up the margins?
Yeah, so Rishikesh, as I was talking on the standalone side, which is clear from the quarter four results onwards. As far as e-mobility is concerned, obviously it's evolving very fast, right? How industry will shape up, what are the kind of technologies which will get into it. Having said that, if you see from a long-term perspective, there is no reason why EV two-wheelers or three-wheelers should not have margins comparable to what the ICE peers have been having. And ICE peers have been having in the range that you spoke about. How would that be achieved? Obviously, with the operating leverage, if the kind of penetration numbers that are being talked about, if they are achieved, then there will be a natural benefit of the fixed overheads getting allocated to a far higher revenue. There will be advantage of operational scale in sourcing, which will give gross margin improvements. And in the long term, eventually with the battery cells getting produced in India and with the PLI-led incentives coming to industry, that will also further add. So these are the three broad drivers which, as the industry settles, should lead to stable margins in e-mobility.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jaydeep Bhotra from Shublab Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes. Jaydeep, sorry to interrupt you. You're sounding a little distant. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Now audible?
Slightly better.
Yeah. My question is on expected timeline for completion of current expansion on capital expenses. And second question is the plan. Is there any planning for have a brand ambassador for the electric EV two-wheeler, the Ampere brand?
So I think I'll start. If you're taking a question on the CapEx, obviously we have said in the past that we have committed significant capital on the electric mobility side. We have also committed significant capital on the Excel acquisition side and some of the regulatory upgrades on the engine side, whether it is the CPCB4 on the gensets or the BS6 or the OBD2 on the gensets. So that's kind of, so we have used a judicial blend of capital utilization across the areas where technology is a differentiator, where we can get a competitive advantage. Obviously, Greaves Retail, which is one of our profitable businesses, tends to remain asset-light. That's the big picture. Dalpat, feel free to add.
No, I think Nagesh, you have covered it. So if there's any unanswered question there, Jitin may be happy to take that up separately.
Thank you. We'll move to the next participant. Next question is from Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
So I have a couple of questions, rather two questions. The trade receivable numbers, if you can give me the FAME II subsidy number out of this and with aging, that will help me.
Yeah, so Nitin, trade receivables are all receivables, and as you know, in our businesses, mainly we are into cash and carry in e-mobility, in retail, and also in engineering, major part of the receivables is secured. So that's the part on the trade receivables. Now coming to the subsidy comes under the other financial assets. And there, as I mentioned earlier, the total outstanding is close to 350 crores. Half of it will be less than 90 days, half of it will be more than 90 days.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Vasanwali for closing comments.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for your continued interest. And again, just reiterating what was in the highlights of the quarter, our transformation to a B2B plus B2C, it is an and strategy, based on our three main verticals, engineering, retail, and electric continues. Contribution is now 66-67%. Excel, 60% is done. Greaves Retail continues to expand its footprint. Product that was committed to be launched, the two products, Zeal and Primus, have been launched. And the next generation to follow. And we continue to focus on our strategy, on our game plan of being an end-to-end value chain player, building a sound, profitable business for the long-term future. Thank you all for your attention. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Greaves Cotton Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.